Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punch Bowl News. It's Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, the Senate looks to jam the House again. Number two, will House Republicans push the culture wars? And number three, the latest on DCCC dues. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We are leading Punch Bowl News AM this morning with a look at how it's going to happen again. The Senate is about to jam the House once more, this time on the five-year FAA reauthorization bill. Regardless of when it ultimately gets done and what might hitch a ride on it, the House will have little choice but to swallow whatever the Senate passes to reauthorize the nation's aviation programs. This is a little bit more optimistic than we had been earlier this week when it looked like they may just have to do a long-term extension, but now there's been some movement here. But man, it's tough to be the House in this situation.
It sure is. It's tough to be the House in some, a lot of situations, but, first of all, today is the, I just noticed, in looking at the date, it is May 8th, which is the, today is the, 47th anniversary of what many people consider to be the greatest Grateful Dead show of all time at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. So if you get a chance to listen to that show, Anna, I know you will be listening to it this morning.
I mean, what a tip. What a tip to start the day.
I don't know, Jake. If I'll be listening to it during my workout, but we'll have to see how that shakes out. Okay. So there's been a lot of griping, as I was telling our colleagues in the gallery yesterday, our Punch Bowl News colleagues, it's a mouthful, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who he has a very full plate. I'm not denying that. So, but he has kind of sat back as he's let the Senate take the lead on this FAA process. The House has dealt with FAA in a variety of different manners. They've let their preferences be known. Johnson has tried to avoid making this bill a Christmas tree, has been in contact with Senate negotiators and Senate leadership over that dynamic, that he doesn't want it loaded up. But let's be clear here. They are going to get a bill, the House, and their back is going to be against the wall. They're going to have to pass it. Whereas Johnson, what some people in his leadership would say is that he should have just passed a 2-month short-term bill and left town. So I understand that frustration, but this is going to come over here to the House of Representatives, not here to my home, but over to the House of Representatives. And the deadline is going to be upon them. So that's a very difficult dynamic, Anna. And another example of the Senate working its will, exerting its will over the less experienced House of Representatives with a speaker, who has been speaker today 196 days and maybe not as practiced as others. Although, listen, Anna, we're going to be in a situation pretty soon where Johnson will be speaker just as long as Kevin McCarthy. So we can't say he's not as experienced for much longer.
The next procedural hurdle comes on Thursday when the Senate will hold the first of two required cloture votes. Senators are demanding amendment votes, and they could try to deny cloture if there isn't an agreement before them. If there's no time agreement before Friday night, the Senate could also then try to quickly pass a short-term extension of the FAA's authority. Of course, all it takes in the Senate is one objection to derail that. But there has been progress cited by leaders involved in the conversations. Senator Ted Cruz, the GOP floor manager for the bill, has adopted a pretty unusual posture for the Texas Republican, urging colleagues to cooperate and not throw up roadblocks. He doubled down on that Tuesday as he's trying to notch a bipartisan win. But the big question is, I think, as you know, Jake, what else gets put on this bill, right? You've got the speaker saying, let's not have it be a Christmas tree. But there's a lot of non-germane bipartisan amendments that senators want votes on, including the Kids Online Safety Act, an effort to fund the Affordable Connectivity Program, the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, to name just a few. But adding some of these bills, you know, it gets pretty slippery pretty fast.
If I were just on that point very quickly, if I were Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and Ted Cruz in this instance, I would not be allowing any votes on non-germane amendments, because that just opens up. And I think Thune says that in here, or maybe it was in our edition last night.
It's in this morning.
Yeah, that if one gets added, there'll be a whole bunch more that will put holds on the bill. That is on non-germane amendments. Remember, non-germane amendments in the Senate most likely will not most likely. The likelihood is they will not pass, because they are considered at a 60 vote threshold, not a 51 vote threshold. So if I were them, which I'm not, I'm just a humble newsletter writer. I would not be allowing any amendments on non-germane issues. Now, there are a lot of germane issues. There's the DCA slot issue. There's just a lot of issues. We don't have to go through them all, but that's just how I would manage it if I were them.
We shall see what the dynamics turn out there. Also, just a note, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican from Georgia, has paused her efforts to oust Johnson. She made demands, which we scooped, and Johnson says he's working on considering some of them. Johnson denies he's negotiating with Greene, but certainly at least a short-term victory for Johnson to avoid that motion to vacate vote on the floor.
Yeah, so Johnson and you should take a look at this, with a significant eye roll, Anna, when I asked him last night about his talks with Marjorie Taylor Greene and the speed with which she wants an answer.
All right, we have the video linked in Punchbowl News AM. You can subscribe to that at punchbowl.news. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning. Are we looking at the culture wars part two? In talks between Speaker Mike Johnson and some of the hardline conservatives that are seeking cuts from the funding for special counsel Jack Smith's investigation into former President Donald Trump. There's a question, and we look at it in this morning, about how brand new House Appropriations Committee Chair Tom Cole is going to be handling different pieces of the appropriations process, and are they going to put some of these culture war positions into the spending bills like they did in the fiscal year 2024, which was a big challenge. These were aimed at diversity, abortion, climate change, transgender, and LGBTQ funding, among other issues. Jake, what say you? It seems as if we're looking at round two here.
Yeah, so let's talk about this for a second. This was something that came out of actually our top yesterday. I think Brez agrees. Let's just be clear here that the pressure from the right is going to cause the House appropriators to do some silly stuff in the annual appropriations process. They've done this in the past, but will they want to take positions that are number one, are difficult for people to vote on in an election year, and but are pressure valves for the right in fighting for the Republican priorities? I think that's a likelihood. We're already seeing, as Brez noted, and you note here, that Tom Cole has pulled back on earmarks and is making a variety of other moves that indicate that he's receptive to the concerns of the conference. All of that said, the appropriations process is well underway, Anna. We've had cabinet secretaries up here on the Hill, or up on the Hill. I keep saying here, but I'm at my house, a bunch this week and consistently over the last couple weeks. This is coming up quicker than you think. So that's something that we have to keep an eye on.
All right. So the number three story of the morning inside the DCCC dues report. There's probably fewer things that we love at Punchbowl News more than checking out how much members are chipping into their campaign committees. It's a good signal of, you know, kind of member, one, how they're doing their own fundraising, but how their the member sentiment is overall for the caucus. Unsurprisingly, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is on top of the charts in the caucus money game. The Democratic leader has paid $3 million in dues, raised $140 million, and has raised and given $7 million to frontline and red to blue candidates. There's a lot of names here about kind of who's giving and who's not. What stuck out to you, Jake?
A few things. Number one, we have something that we haven't seen much at all recently. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has given a donation, which has been reported, but has given a donation to the DCCC for the first time in a long time. She talked about this with the New York Times and on television. 78 members have paid between 1% and 50% of their dues, and a further 29 have paid between 51% and 99%. You know, the DCCC always complains about their dues situation, how they don't get dues for members. I mean, to be honest with you, Anna, it's kind of a racket in many ways, the due situation, isn't it? Don't you think so? I mean, it's like you have to pay your dues based on your commit. Both parties, not just the DCCC, both parties. It's a racket. And, but these are member supported organizations. I get that. But I would say this is one of the main tension points in the House, Democratic caucus, in the Senate and the House Republican conference, that they have to chip in for their dues. Although I would say Republicans use it a little better, in the sense that they use it as ways to curry favor and get power in the institution.
Yeah, this is a longer conversation than we have this morning about kind of dues, but yeah, it's complicated. I mean, listen, I think both of those organizations would say they serve a purpose beyond the individual. They help races with messaging and all kinds of different member constituent services. But parting with money when you have to fundraise and pick up the phone to make these calls is not something that members like to do, you know, full stop. All right. With that, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, please share it on social media. Tell your friends. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also go deeper on everything we talked about this morning and more by signing up for our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.